Donna.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Me and Ali.
Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it.
Welcome, everybody, to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Misha coming to you live every day talking about HR. We're the number one HR podcast anywhere, any place. So we have really good people on. So let's get to these really good people. So, Kevin Cruz, welcome to Drive Through HR, first time.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. It's awesome to be here, and I can already tell this is going to be my favorite interview and conversation. Anybody that opens up with "I left my wallet in El Segundo" is all right in my book.
You know, I forget what the music is because we schedule it so far out. So every day, it's like walking into Whole Foods for me. That's my favorite place to shop, so I get surprised. Right? It's awesome.
I love it. I love it.
Well, hey, let's have you introduce yourself first, and then we'll kind of roll into our first big question.
Sure. And again, Brian, Nisha, thanks for having me. It's crazy that you guys do this on a daily basis, and it's awesome that you give this to the community. So I just wanted to thank you for that. For those of you who are listening in and we haven't met or done anything together, Kevin Cruz, I am, and maybe I'll start, Brian, with what I'm not. You know, I'm not a full-time HR professional. I'm not a, an academic expert. I'm not even really from the vendor side. My background is really as a, sort of a serial entrepreneur. I started and sold several different small tech companies and training companies. And at first I failed miserably, and I realized, I was slow, but finally realized that, the more I made it about the talent and less about me as the owner or the CEO, the more I focused on engagement and less about anything else in the business, the better the businesses got. I mean, they just had quantum leaps in growth and revenue and won Inc. 500 awards and Best Place to Work awards, and it was all by focusing on the talent. And so, 5 years ago, I sold my last business and just decided that, I wanted to be an evangelist for employee engagement and this notion of, being a wholehearted leader that drives engagement. And so it was about 3-4 years ago, I wrote my first book with my co-author is Conexa CEO Rudy Carson. And that book did well. And then a year later, I did a follow-up book on employee engagement called Employee Engagement 2.0. And then this year, and I promise everyone, this is the last book on employee engagement. It's called Employee Engagement for Everyone. And so that's what brings me to the table.
Well, that is, you're hanging in with a good crowd. Rudy's been on before. Great conversation. He's led that organization to do a lot of things around obviously what you guys wrote about. So it's you guys act like it's pretty important to have an engaged workforce. So three books in you. That's pretty impressive. And they all have a little bit different take on them. And before we get into kind of what's keeping you up at night, tell us, kind of walk us back through kind of what the main three things, because I thought that was interesting, on all three books, kind of the high-level theme for each book and what the order was again.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. So the first book was called We, How to Increase Performance and Profits Through Full Engagement. And, as you mentioned, I mean, Rudy's a really far out there kind of guy. He ended up, Rudy and Conexa bought my second company. And so I spent 5 years working with Rudy, and it's where I really started to understand a lot of the engagement research and data and the science behind things I was just sort of trying to do naturally. And so our book, We, was kind of this big picture look at, what's going on in the workplace today, the data that so many of us unfortunately aren't familiar with. Depending on the research you look at, maybe about a third of the workforce is engaged, another third is disengaged, and then the rest are somewhere in the middle. And the book did very well. But as I was kind of going around the world and doing talks and meeting people, what kept coming back was, hey, you know, this is a really interesting and kind of philosophical book. But what do we do, what do we do on Monday? Like, what are the behaviors that we implement with our managers on Monday? And so the second book, Employee Engagement 2.0, is really a thin, almost, you know, workbook approach that answered that question. You know, we know from the research that our relationship with our boss is, you know, the most relevant variable for employee engagement. So, you know, the book is set out, okay, what are some simple practices, whether you're an individual manager with in a small business with 10 employees or whether you're in a Fortune 500 company, here's what you can start doing on Monday. Now, that book also did well, but then as I was going around and talking to people about this concept, and I can remember it clearly, someone in a workshop raised their hand and she said, how come it's always our fault? How come it's always the manager's fault? Like, you know, doesn't the individual employee have some responsibility here to be engaged, to come to work, you know, with a decent attitude? And then people started to pile on and, you know, one person, you know, with a less politically correct way said, how come the person who's always complaining about communication at work is the same person who never raises their hand, you know, in a meeting to ask a question? And I thought it was interesting, you know, these questions and this almost pent up emotion and energy behind them. And so, you know, I started thinking about that and started doing a little bit more research into the positive psychology movement and stumbled on an IDG research report that said that 43% of how we feel about work, our engagement, comes from intrinsic motivation, you know, internal factors. Now, the other, you know, 57 is still external, but it really then crystallized that for me. Yes, companies and individual managers have a lot to do, and in fact, the majority, you know, responsibility for engagement. But each of us as individuals need to meet them halfway. We need to take ownership of our own engagement, not just what can the company do for me, what should my boss be doing for me, but also what can I do to not just engage myself, but to engage those around me, because it's contagious, right? You know, you're a sourpuss at work, that's contagious. You're motivated and engaged at work, that's contagious. So the third book that came out I did earlier this year, it's called Employee Engagement for Everyone, Four Keys to Happiness and Fulfillment at Work. And similar to the previous one, it sort of lays out step by step, you know, for the individual employee, listen, here's this kind of strange term called employee engagement. Here's why it's you should care about it, why it's important to you. And then here's how you can partner with your boss and do some things on your own in the workplace that are going to increase your own engagement at work, but then also you'll be a leader of others, you know, around you as well. So that's sort of how the three books. First was Big Picture, called We, and then Employee Engagement 2.0 was like, what can managers start really doing week to week, month to month? And then Employee Engagement for Everyone, what can the individuals do to partner with their companies and their bosses to drive higher engagement?
Awesome, Kevin. Well, from my perspective, from my end, first of all, thank you so much for acknowledging my blog on your book, and you have showcased another 100 more top engagement experts, which is so fantastic acknowledgement to receive. And from your ideas, as you said, engagement should owned by every individual. Let's not just blame managers or leaders from an engagement point of view, but it should start from an individual perspective. So, to get a sneak peek to our audience about your book, can you talk a little bit about four keys to happiness and fulfillment at work?
Yeah, thanks, Nisha. It's and you know these are the keys that actually it's the common message through all of the books, because what Rudy Carson and I did was, you know, we took the body, 1 year body of data, employee survey research from Kinexa. So, you know, 10 million workers in 150 countries, massive. and you know, use the filter of our own experiences as real world leaders. All of this stuff, we don't want it to be academic. We don't want it to be ivory tower and not implemented. You know, let's put it through the filter of our real world experiences as managers and as leaders. And, you know, when the Kinexa team came back, and you'll see it's in the book and in their own materials, you know, they said, oh, this is great. You know, our research shows there's these, you know, 8 or 9 drivers of engagement. Well, that's great, but, you know, I immediately challenged it. I'm like, I'm never going to remember those as a busy manager. You know, what is, like, the one thing that gets me most of the engagement I need from my team? And they kind of laughed, and they said, all right, you know, we went back and looked at it, and it's not one thing. It's not just one thing. But they said over 70% of the correlation comes from 3 things: growth, recognition, and trust. You know, growth, am I learning and advancing and feeling challenged? Recognition, do I feel appreciated at work? And trust isn't so much about the ethics, but it's like, I trust that our leadership team is guiding us to a brighter future. It's about a future vision. And when the fourth one comes in, if there's a fourth one, it's communication. And I like to say, I like to focus on the top 3, but I think communication runs through all of those things. It's almost like the backbone or the central nervous system, because you need to be communicating if you're going to be developing people and helping them to grow. You need to be communicating to make people feel appreciated. You need to be communicating your future vision, your strategic plan. So those are the 4 things: growth, recognition, and trust. And the way I have a terrible memory, Nisha, so everything I do, I try to simplify. So GRT sort of spells the word great, GRT. So I say great leaders communicate growth, recognition, and trust. I sort of turn it into a little bit of an acronym there. And again, you know, as a manager, there's things that we can do to create an environment that fosters growth, recognition, and trust. And then also as individuals, if we're not fully engaged, or if we want to, you know, engage with our boss on these issues, there's things that we can bring to the table ourselves.
That's really fantastic, as you said. And from a manager's perspective, as you said, the importance of communication when it comes to what really employees are looking for, and what are the areas that they need to work on, and let's just say in the aspect of recognition as well, what's in it for them. So for most of the time, I feel that communication aspect is really missing when it comes to letting their employees know what's in it for them, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that and that's the thing. I think people I often, unfortunately, hear, you know, people think that what's in it for employees is often goes back to, you know, compensation and benefits and things. And I think that's a certain, you know, you have to be competitive in that area. But we need to communicate to the employees that they should be caring about many other things beyond that. And Nisha, this is why I got really passionate about engagement, and it turned into 3 books. I promise no more than 3. But when Rudy and I were doing the first book, like, I thought it was all going to be about the ROI to the business. And certainly that's important. You know, the multiple studies will show there's hard correlation between engaged workforces and business results. You know, in the top quartile, the most engaged companies outperform the bottom quartile by 5 times on their share price, their total shareholder return. You know, Gallup studies showing linkages to, you know, profits and to sales. And that's great. I mean, those are important reasons. But for the individual employee, what's more important, the reason why I get so worked up about this every day, even after 3 years, is when I stumbled on all of the personal and human aspects. You know, I stumbled on the data that shows that people who are unhappy at work weigh, on average, 5 pounds more than people who are engaged at work. People who are unhappy at work, this is the famous Swedish Wolf study, are twice as likely to die from a heart attack or a stroke or cardiovascular event than people who are happy at work. This is the same increased risk as smoking. And, you know, if you think about, especially here in the States, you know, how much time and effort is being put into, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, it's dangerous for your health. And yet working for a bad boss can literally increase your incidence of a cardiovascular event just as much as cigarettes can. I mean, it was mind-boggling. And then there were others, like people always laugh at this one, but you know, people who are unhappy at work have less sex than people who are happy at work, because you know, the psychologists talk about the spillover and crossover effects. Our emotions at work spill over into our personal life, and they cross over to those around us. So, you know, if I come home from a great day at work and I'm happy, you know, I walk into my home and I, you know, kiss my spouse on the cheek and ask her how her day went and, you know, sit down over a nice meal, you know, that's a nice night with some good possibilities. But you flip it around and I come home and I'm grumpy and I'm stressed and I walk in and I just sort of grunt a hello and I'm flipping through my mail and throw the bills down and I grab a beer and put the TV on and grab that remote control. You know, completely in men are especially good at, you know, diving into our cave when we're unhappy or stressed out. And so, you know, there's all these things, and the one that, you know, will pull my heartstrings the most is people who are unhappy at work, their kids are more likely to misbehave at school. And there was this study of 189 dads. They didn't do it with the moms, but this one study was just dads. And it every day they had the dads mark a survey that says, you know, hey, I had a good day at work, I had a bad day at work. And completely separately, the teachers of their fourth or fifth grade children were writing down, you know, little Johnny or little Jane had a good day or bad day at school. And they showed that when dad had a bad day at work, within 24 to 48 hours, their kids were more likely to have some sort of incident at school. And it's this crossover effect. You know, again, you come home and you're in a good mood, you give your kids a lot of attention, you're happy, you play a game with them, you help them with their homework. That's all this positive energy that's transferring to your child. You know, and hey, I think I'm a good parent, but even I have bad days. I come home grumpy and stressed out. I've got three kids, all school age, and they run up to me, and it's like, oh, you know, not now, you know, later, give me some space. I just need some peace and quiet. And, you know, our kids internalize that, and they'll either they'll become shy, they'll withdraw and become shy, or they'll act out for attention, you know, back in school. And so, you know, when I stumbled on this, this is, you know, why I beat the drum on engagement. Yes, it's great for business results. That's why the CEOs should care. That's why companies should invest in it. But for individual employees, listen, if you want to be happy in life, you better be happy at work. And it's not about going and getting that 5% raise, you know, in 6 months, or a little bit better health insurance, or two extra days on your vacation. It is not about that. Once you have enough to meet your needs, you need to find a job that's challenging you. You're growing. You feel appreciated, and you're motivated by that future vision. See, this engagement then will spill over into every other area of your life. It's very hard to be a happy person if you're not happy at work. So, Nisha, that's a long answer, but that's how I come at what's so important about this and how we need to communicate it to the workforce.
Well, and Kevin, there is nothing funny about the not liking your work and having less sex and pissing your kids off. There's nothing funny about that. So,
we're hitting them all. We're hitting them all.
Yes, that's serious stuff right there. Long-term effects in all respects. So let me grab a quick reset, everybody. Listening to Drive Through HR, Brian and Nisha on, talking with author, consultant, speaker, thought leader, Kevin Cruz. So, Kevin, I want to go a little bit different direction in the fact that so where does technology? I mean, you're hitting in some really core. Some people call it, you know, the softer side of things, which I don't like that. I don't agree with it. I call it like the actual heart of everything is how you feel, because how you feel dictates literally everything on a daily basis. So, how does technology play into your world and your kind of what you've seen over the years in the research around kind of this topic?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, I think I'm involved in a variety of different business ventures and, you know, investments and things. And often when I'm talking to startup companies and others about what's going on now in the future, a lot of it is tech-driven. And I say, you know, the three big trends are mobile, social, and big data, no matter what business you're in. So before I dive into those, you know, let me back up and say, though, that we can't use technology as an excuse for not being engaged or engaging those around us. Because, of course, you know, if we've got 10 team members, it doesn't take technology to sit down with each one, you know, twice a year to talk about their, you know, career goals. We can write a thank you note with a pen and paper. You know, we can simplify our strategic plan and make sure everybody's in alignment with it. So we don't want to use technology as an excuse for, oh, you know, engagement's the thing big companies do or we don't have the money. But having said all that, boy, it can sure help. And, you know, the simplest things start with, you know, using online surveys to measure current engagement levels. And what is just a shame is that even a lot of companies that kind of get engagement or they're trying to get engagement, I'll hear they say, oh, yeah, you know, because of the expense of, you know, the surveys, we only do it every 2 years. Well, that's not often enough. When I had my own, you know, mid-sized businesses and they were growing fast, I would do engagement surveys every 6 months. And technology is enabling them to be done, you know, very affordably and very quickly. And the trend in that, just on even on the survey side, is you kind of laugh at the companies that aren't doing it all or doing it every 2 years because with mobile, social, and big data, I think we're going to be moving to an engagement measurement model where it's real time. And if it's not actual real time, it's at least daily. So imagine, you know, you've got this global 10,000 employee organization. Well, what if a statistically significant sample, so not the whole company, but a statistically significant sample is randomized and sent a morning email with the link, you know, take this employee engagement pulse survey, 12 questions in 60 seconds. And I know of one small company up in Toronto that's doing this, and it's not optional. You cannot log into your computer until you answer these questions. That's how important they take it. And so I think that, you know, having a dashboard where all of a sudden, you know, we see a daily sampling across the organization, across the world of our engagement level is going to be coming here sooner than we realize. And if you look at the individual drivers, the same thing. I mean, when, you know, we've talked about Connects a couple times. You know, I was the partner there that launched Career Tracker and their EHR suite. You know, so all these programs that can now help foster goal alignment and career pathing and competency models. I mean, that just couldn't be done, you know, before the technology advancements that we've had recently. And I'll do one more example, and then we can poke at it further if you like, Brian. But you know, I just love what I'm seeing in the areas of recognition platforms. And you know, there's a lot of variety there. You know, there's some that are small and simple, so, you know, people give each other points and you earn badges, and it's sort of just an online visibility social recognition system. There's others that are, of course, a little more mature, and they're aligned with the company's values. So, you know, I would say not just a thank you to Brian, but I would say thank you, Brian, for, you know, staying late last night. It shows you're living, you know, our values of customer commitment. Some of these are even, you know, tracking points. You know, I think if I were to do another startup, another company, I wouldn't even give people bonuses. If every employee, like in the old days, I would allocate every employee would have a bonus pool for themselves, about 10% of their salary. What I would do is I would give them that equivalent in points, and I would say, you have to give them away. So you give them away to your peers, and at the end of the year, we'll see who's got how many points, and convert it back into our currency, dollars, and pay it out in that fashion so that everybody is figuring out it's the bonuses aren't coming from the top down and aren't biased based on leadership only or management only, I should say, but rather it's being calculated on a day-to-day peer-to-peer level. And so I think, you know, what's happening is with the web technologies and the social peer-to-peer technologies, a byproduct of all this is a massive amount of data. And what we're going to be seeing is the same kind of tools that companies use to map out and deliver services to customers, all that's going to become internal facing. Because, you know, look, overall, I know that growth, recognition, trust, communication are the four top drivers of engagement. But, you know, Brian might be really young, a young guy early in his career, and growth is his strong number one. Maybe Nisha's closer to retirement, and she's not really looking to grow, but she would sure like to feel appreciated for all that she's done for the company. So we need to get better about what are the individual drivers of each person, and let's segment this engagement profile so we can deliver and keep our best employees longer. Is that making sense, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. So, good job. Go ahead, Nisha.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about this. It's such a great example that so many companies are doing in gamification also along with this in order to incorporate a recognition platform, as you said. So, it should be customized and personalized in a way that individuals should get a recognition in terms of what they are expecting from their work.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So we have 3 minutes left at this point, and I have a quick question. As you talk about measurement, where do employers get wrong when they measure employee engagement?
Well, I think I wrote an article recently that said, can you measure love, and then in parentheses, or employee engagement? Because I think for some, people are wondering, well, how do you measure engagement when it's a feeling? You know, you can't look inside someone or do this x-ray to see their, you know, how full of engagement they are. And I think we just need to, and I think that the right way to do it is to get clear on measuring proxies for engagement and then drivers of engagement. So while we can't peer inside of somebody to look at that number exactly, we do know that, you know, people who are engaged at work, they're less likely to be looking for another job. You know, so that's a question you can ask about, you know, how often, you know, are you looking for a job, or have you thought about looking for another job in the last month? Another proxy question, we know that people who are engaged at work are more likely to recommend their company to friends and family members. You know, hey, Nisha, there's an opening in customer service at my company. You ought to apply for it. You know, I wouldn't suggest that to you if I was disengaged at work. So asking a proxy question about, you know, our advocacy for the company is another way to do that. And then getting clear on, and so you can come up with sort of a measure of engagement with really three or four questions. And then any additional questions are just to measure activities around the drivers. You know, do you feel like you're growing and advancing at work? Do you feel appreciated at work? Do you know what the 5-year goal of your company is? Do you believe that your leadership will get you to that goal? So I think that's how we need to do it. We do need to measure it, but we need to be clear on how we measure the proxies for engagement and then what we're going to measure as the drivers of engagement.
Well, that's great. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being here. So we have about a minute left. Where can people come and find you, connect with you, and say hi to you?
Yeah, thanks, Nisha. The easiest way, my website is kevincruse.com, and Cruz is K-R-U-S-E, kevincruse.com. But I want to also let people know, if you go to myengagementstyle.com, there's a free online profile that you can take and just in a minute, and it will tell you what are your motivation factors at work. You know, is it growth? Is it recognition? Is it trust? Is it communication? Is it some combination of those? It's a free online profile that will help you to identify what gets you engaged at work, myengagementstyle.com.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us today and sharing your valuable insights about employee engagement. I just tweeted your book link so that people can log in and buy from Amazon and have a read. It's a fantastic book out there. Thank you so much, Kevin. And talk to you all tomorrow.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Nisha.